Again, it's good to be with you this evening, and I'm so thankful that I've had this opportunity. I ask that you would go ahead and turn to the book of Numbers, the book of Numbers, chapter 13. I mentioned this morning that we would be talking about a generational faith this evening. We talked this morning about a individual faith and our own individual faith and what that needs to be. But also, the fact is we see in many instances, but specifically in the book of Numbers, we see a generation that lacks the faith that they needed to have. And getting us up to speed, we talked about in the book of Exodus, we went through the plagues this morning in class, and God's idea was to get them out of Egypt with those plagues and to produce the faith that they needed to produce. But after that, God gave them the law in the book of Exodus. It's been said that in the book of Exodus, or in the book of Leviticus, excuse me, it's been said that in the book of Exodus, God was getting his people out of Egypt. But then in the book of Leviticus, he was getting Egypt out of his people, telling them that they needed to be holy as he was holy. And so we're going to examine these two generations, the faithless generation of Moses' day in the book of Numbers, and then we're going to look at the faithful generation in the days of Joshua. So if you'll be reading with me in Numbers chapter 13, we'll begin in verse 25, reading through at least the end of the chapter. Numbers 13, verse 25 and following. They've come to the land of Israel. Before we begin, they've come to the land. They're ready to take it. And so they send out the 12 spies. You know, a very strategic move, something they should have done by any means. And so they send out the 12 spies. Well, this is what happens when they come back. It says, "And they returned from spying out the land after 40 days. Now they departed and came back to Moses and Aaron and all the congregation of the children of Israel in the wilderness of Paran at Kadesh. They brought back word to them and to all the congregation and showed them the fruit of the land. Then they told him and said, 'We went to the land where you sent us. It truly flows with milk and honey, and this is its fruit. Nevertheless, the people who dwell in the land are strong. The cities are fortified and very large. Moreover, we saw the descendants of Anak there. The Amalekites dwell in the land of the south. The Hittites, the Jebusites, the Amorites dwell in the mountains, and the Canaanites dwell by the sea and along the banks of the Jordan.' Then Caleb quieted the people before Moses and said, 'Let us go up at once and take possession, for we are well able to overcome it.' But the men who had gone up with him said, 'We are not able to go up against the people, for they are stronger than we.' And they gave the children of Israel a bad report of the land which they had spied out, saying, 'The land through which we have gone as spies is a land that devours its inhabitants, and all the people of whom we saw in it are men of great stature. There we saw the giants, the descendants of Anak came from the giants, and we were like grasshoppers in our own sight, and so we were in their sight.'" Continue with me in chapter 14, verse 1. "So all the congregation lifted up their voices and cried, and the people wept that night. And all the children of Israel complained against Moses and Aaron, and the whole congregation said to them, 'If only we had died in the land of Egypt, or if only we had died in this wilderness. Why has the Lord brought us to this land to fall by the sword, that our wives and children should become victims? Would it not be better for us to return to Egypt?'" Verse 4, "So they said to one another, 'Let us select a leader and return to Egypt.'" This generation has been through a lot. They have seen the plagues. They saw God part the seas through Moses, but they come to the land that was promised to them by God, and they said, "We can't do it." Moses had told them, he said, "Go up, the land is given to you," and yet they didn't have the faith to do so. And this generation we're going to see is mentioned over and over again in the rest of the Bible, looking back to the fact that they had no faith and that they died in the wilderness before reaching the promised land because of it. Turn with me also to the book of Acts. The book of Acts chapter 7. Stephen is recounting the history of Israel in this speech. In Acts chapter 7, beginning verse 35, he recounts this generation. He says, "This Moses whom they rejected, saying, 'Who made you a ruler and a judge?' is the one God sent to be a ruler and deliverer by the hand of the angel who appeared to him in the bush. He brought them out after he had shown wonders and signs in the land of Egypt and in the Red Sea and in the wilderness 40 years. This is that Moses who said to the children of Israel, 'The Lord your God will raise up for you a prophet like me from your brethren, and him you shall hear.'" Verse 38, "This is he who is in the congregation in the wilderness with the angel who spoke to him on Mount Sinai, and with our fathers who received the living oracles to give to us, whom our fathers would not obey, but rejected, and in their hearts they turned back to Egypt, saying to Aaron, 'Make to us gods to go before us.' As for this Moses who brought us out of the land of Egypt, we do not know what has become of him. And they made a calf in those days, offered sacrifices to the idol, and rejoiced in the works of their own hands." This generation had been led out of Egypt, as we noted, the wonders and signs, as he recalls, in the land of Egypt and in the Red Sea. And God gives them manna and water, miraculously, but yet they didn't believe. Turn with me also to the book of Hebrews. This generation is mentioned in the book of Hebrews chapter 3. Hebrews chapter 3, verse 17. Well, let's begin in verse 16. It says, "For who, having heard, rebelled? Indeed, was it not all who came out of Egypt led by Moses? Now with whom was he angry 40 years? Was it not with those who sinned, whose corpses fell in the wilderness? And to whom did he swear that they would not enter his rest, but to those who did not obey?" And verse 19, "So we see that they could not enter in because of unbelief." Because of a lack of faith, this generation saw exactly the good of the land. As we noted before, this is the land that was promised to you. It's a land flowing with milk and honey, just as God's promised. And they said, "My God isn't big enough." They looked at the giants and said, "Those giants are so large, we can't overcome them." I don't know why they said that, other than the fact that they had no faith in their God. They didn't realize that God was behind them the whole way. He was leading them to this promised land, and yet they wouldn't enter in. God says, "All you have to do is take it. The land is yours. Just go in and take it." And yet they wouldn't do it. And so we see this land, this people said, "My God isn't big enough." And we can't be like them. We can't say that about our God, because He can do anything that we want Him to do. Above anything that we can ask, He has the power to do. And so we'll contrast this. I love looking at contrast, and I think the Bible has plenty of contrast for us to look at. But this generation that said, you know, "Our children and our wives are going to be devoured," they were wrong, because their children and their children were going to enter the promised land, unlike them. And so turn with me to the book of Joshua. They wandered about through the rest of the book of Numbers. They wandered about in the wilderness and died there. But yet this new generation comes to the land just as they had, in the same area, and God is going about it a little bit differently. Of course, they send in the two spies to Jericho in the book of Joshua chapter 6. But we see, actually look with me back in Joshua chapter 5 and verse 1. These people, the Amorites, if they were going to come up against in Jericho, it says in Joshua chapter 5, verse 1, "So it was when all the kings of the Amorites who were on the west side of the Jordan, and all the kings of the Canaanites who were by the sea, heard that the Lord had dried up the waters of the Jordan from before the children of Israel, until we had crossed over, that their heart melted. And there was no spirit in them any longer because of the children of Israel." Not because of the children of Israel, but their God that was with them. They were scared. They were afraid. And that's reflected also in Joshua chapter 6 and verse 1. They're going to come to Jericho with what people say is one of the most fortified cities in that land. And God says, "We're going to win this my way. You're going to have the faith that I need you to have, because I'm going to show you that the most fortified city with the biggest walls, we're going to take it first. And so in Joshua chapter 6, begin with me in verse 1. Now Jericho was securely shut up because of the children of Israel. None went out and none came in. And so again, they were afraid. They didn't know what to do, so they shut the gates. They said, what can we do, because this God and His people are coming? And then in verse 2, and the Lord said to Joshua, see, I have given Jericho into your hand, its king and the mighty man of valor. And verse 3, you shall march around the city, all you men of war. You shall go all around the city once, and this you shall do 6 days. And then he continues on and tells him that on the seventh day, after those 6 days, you are going to walk around the city. But on the seventh day, you are going to walk around the city 7 times, as you did before. And then the walls are going to fall. After you shout and sound the trumpets, the walls are going to fall. Look with me down in verse 15 and 16 of Joshua chapter 6. But it came to pass on the seventh day that they rose early, about the dawning of the day, and marched around the city 7 times in the same manner. On that day only they marched around the city 7 times. And the seventh time it happened, when the priests blew the trumpets, that Joshua said to the people, shout, for the Lord has given you the city. And verse 17, now the city shall be doomed by the Lord to destruction, it and all who are in it. Only Rahab and the harlot shall live, she and all who are with her in the house, because she hid the messengers that we sent. And you by all means abstain from the accursed things, lest you become accursed when you take of the accursed things, and make the camp of Israel a curse and trouble it. But all the silver and gold and vessels of bronze and iron are consecrated to the Lord. They shall come into the treasury of the Lord. And then in verse 20, we see what happens. So the people shouted with the priests when the priests blew the trumpets, and it happened when the people heard the sound of the trumpet, and the people shouted with a great shout, that the wall fell down flat. Then the people went up into the city, every man straight before him, and they took the city. And they utterly destroyed all that was in the city, both man and woman, young and old, ox and sheep and donkey, and the edge of the sword. And so we see that this generation did exactly what God told them to do. They were in the same situation, facing a city fortified to the heavens, as many have described it. But these walls didn't fall on their own. These walls fell by faith. Look with me back to the book of Numbers. We see why. Because they had a leadership of Caleb and Joshua, the two of the 12 spies that were walking by faith and not by sight. The other 10, as we noted this morning, were walking by their sight, saying that these giants are too big and too strong for us. They said, we are like grasshoppers in our own sight, and so we were in their sight. But then Joshua tells them in verse 6 of Numbers chapter 14, he says, but Joshua the son of Nun and Caleb the son of Jephunneh, who were among those who had spied out the land, tore their clothes. And they spoke to all the congregation of the children of Israel, saying, the land we passed through to spy out is an exceedingly good land. If the Lord delights in us, then He will bring us into this land and give it to us, a land which flows with milk and honey. And verse 9, he says, only do not rebel against the Lord, nor fear the people of the land, for they are our bread. Their protection has departed from them, and the Lord is with us. Do not fear them. We'll see over and over again in the book of Joshua. You see, do not fear is a common theme, because God is with them, and God is with us. We can't fear the people of the land. But Caleb and Joshua said, these people that you think are going to devour our wives and our children, we're going to devour them. Or at least they were going to, until God punished them, that older generation. And so we see that the two generations, we see that one was faithless and one was faithful. But turn with me over to the book of Hebrews. Again, Hebrews chapter 11, talking about, as we noted this morning, the faith of individuals, but we also notice in verse 30, well, we began in verse 32 this morning, but verse 30 says, by faith the walls of Jericho fell down after they were encircled for 7 days. After they had done exactly what God told them to do, God was faithful in His promise, and those walls fell by faith. And so we have to look at the comparison here, the contrast between these two. Are we going to be like the generation who lacked faith and died in the wilderness? Are we going to be like the generation who saw the world and saw the giants of Canaan and they were afraid? And they said, "My God isn't big enough." But yet, they died in the wilderness. Or will we be like the generation who conquered all, whose faith conquered all in Joshua's days? And they took all of the land that they needed to have and fulfilled the land promise that God had promised them. We noted this morning in 1 Samuel chapter 17 how David went up against Goliath. He had his own individual faith, but what he says is, "Who is this uncircumcised Philistine that he should defy the armies of the living God? Who is this person who is standing in my way or in God's way?" David knew that the God behind him was greater than anything in front of him. There might be times that we get discouraged. We see empty pews or empty seats, but yet we can fill those if we just have the faith that we need to have. We can fill this building if we can make it fuller than it needs to be. But faithfulness is required, as we noted this morning, both in class with a generation, but also this morning in the lesson, our own individual faith. But look with me in Romans chapter 8 and verse 31. Romans chapter 8 and verse 31. This is the kind of attitude that we have to have. This is the attitude that Joshua and Caleb and the new generation that entered and that overtook Jericho and the rest of the land, they said, "What then shall we say to these things? If God is for us, who can be against us?" If God is for us, who can be against us? That same idea of they are bread for us. Oh, we are going to devour them, this land. Also turn with me to the book of 2 Timothy. The book of 2 Timothy, chapter 2, or chapter 4. 2 Timothy, chapter 4, verse 16 and 17. This is at the end of Paul's life, what we believe to be Paul's last letter. And he says in verse 16 of 2 Timothy chapter 4, "At my first defense no one stood with me, but all forsook me. May it not be charged against them, but the Lord stood with me and strengthened me so that the message might be preached fully through me and that all the Gentiles might hear. And also I was delivered out of the mouth of the lion." And so we see that Paul himself, when everyone else forsook him, when there were things in his life, the thorn in the flesh, he trusted in God to deliver him. There were so many things that Paul went through. He describes in 2 Corinthians chapter 11 the beatings and the tortures and so many things that happened to him, yet he trusted in the Lord his God. Turn with me to Matthew chapter 28 and verse 20. Matthew chapter 28 should be a familiar text to us all. Matthew chapter 28 and verse 20. But before that, in 2 Chronicles chapter 32, if you'll recall, verse 8, King Hezekiah says, "With us is the Lord our God, and to help us and to fight our battles." We see that even King Hezekiah understood that as long as God was going to be with them, because they were obeying His law and doing right, because Hezekiah, as we talked about this morning, took away the high places and destroyed the idols that Judah had come up with. He says, "With us is the Lord our God." And isn't that in the same principle that we have in Matthew chapter 28 and verse 20? He says, "Teaching them to observe all things that I have commanded you, and lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the age." My question to us this evening is, do we believe that? Do we believe that Jesus Himself is with us through His Word, showing us that we can do all these things? That grace plus faith equals victory. We often sing that song, "Faith is the victory." And that is so true, because faith gives us access into that grace and gives us the victory. 1 John chapter 5 and verse 4, the victory that overcomes is our faith. And so what we want to notice and what we want to ask ourselves this evening is, are we going to be like the generation that lacked faith and died in the wilderness? But before we enter heaven, are we going to lose that faith? Are we going to fall from grace? Or are we going to be like the generation of Joshua's days, whose faith conquered everything that they could see in front of them because they weren't walking by their sight, they were walking by faith? And so to encourage you this evening, before we close and offer the invitation, in Joshua chapter 7 and verse number 10, Joshua chapter 7 and verse number 10, God had to encourage Joshua at this moment. Even back in chapter 5, towards the end of chapter 5, before they took Jericho, God appeared to Joshua and He encouraged him. And then in verse 10 of Joshua chapter 7, He says, "So the Lord said to Joshua, get up." Or He says, "Arise. Why do you lie thus on your face?" And He'll go on in verse 13, "Get up, sanctify the people, and say, sanctify yourselves for tomorrow, because thus says the Lord God of Israel, there is an accursed thing in your midst." And so the idea is that He is telling Joshua, He is encouraging Joshua, and I hope that we are going to be encouraged by a lesson like this, to have a generation of faithfulness, like the generation of Joshua's days, who lived out past Joshua and past the elders of Joshua, who lived faithfully in that land. Of course, we'll see after that the book of Judges. We see that they can turn away so quickly from us that it only takes a generation to turn us into a downward spiral. But we have to be like the generation in the first century. Can we be like the church of the first century who turned the world upside down? Or maybe we should say that they turned the world right side up, because the world had been completely turned around by sin, and so they were turning it right side up in Acts chapter 17 and verse 6. But they were described as turning the world upside down. And so we've got to have a big faith. We've got to have a big faith for a big work. If we want to fill seats, if we not just fill seats though, but to make true disciples of Jesus Christ, we have to have the faith that this generation had. And I hope that you're encouraged to be strong, to not be afraid as they were in Joshua's day of any giants that are in front of us. There are so many things in this life that might can discourage us. There are so many things that we see by our sight, but yet we don't walk by the faith that we need to have. If you have any need, if you have prayers or concerns that we can help you with, we would love to be able to do that if you would come forward as we stand and sing.